Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to be spending most of our time talking about a couple of big announcements from Ford and Rivian. We've also got a couple of Tesla-specific pieces of news and a macro update. Looking at the markets, Tesla today up 1.8% to $879.89, with the Nasdaq up 1.6%, both recovering after a bit of a dip this morning as Fed Chairman Jerome Powell testified to the Joint Economic Committee. He continued to express interest in raising interest rates, though likely at a quarter percentage point at a time. And he did, of course, note that the situation with Russia and Ukraine is increasing economic uncertainty. That could lower the trajectory of interest rate increases, but Powell did also say that to the extent that inflation comes in higher than expected, the Fed would be prepared to more aggressively increase interest rates and perhaps do that at more than 25 basis points at a time. So somewhat mixed commentary overall. I think that's probably kind of what was expected and the market shaking that off. All right, I want to start off today with a pretty significant update from Ford. They have announced that they will be splitting up elements of their business into distinct business units, and most interestingly, that will separate the internal combustion engine vehicle from the electric vehicle business. So Ford is calling this the Ford Plus Plan. The Ford Plus Plan primarily consists of the Ford Model E, which don't get confused, that's not a vehicle model, and the Ford Blue business units. So in simplest terms, Ford Model E, that will house the electric vehicles, Ford Blue, the ICE vehicles. And when it comes to things like research and development, Ford Model E, that will house things like connected vehicles, though obviously some of those things will then carry over and apply to vehicles within Ford Blue as well. In the announcement, Ford did say that each of these business units will have their own discrete profit and loss statements. They expect that to begin in 2023. So it's going to be a little bit of time before we can actually see how profitable or not profitable EVs are for Ford. But that is coming, and that will be very interesting to see. We're starting to get into a period of time now where it's not just press releases, and it's not even just production, but it's also profitability. That's a very relevant topic for today, because that's going to come back around here in a second when we talk about Rivian. Anyway, back to this announcement, Ford is of course highlighting how they believe this will let them get the best out of both businesses, allocate their resources more efficiently, more effectively, all this good stuff whenever you have any sort of reorganization. But there was one thing in here in particular that kind of made me raise my eyebrow a little bit and made me wonder if this is a little bit more important than Ford is alluding to with this distinction. On the announcement slides, they highlight new shopping and ownership experiences under the Ford Model E business unit. They elaborate on that in the press release, saying that Ford Model E also will lead on creating an exciting new shopping, buying, and ownership experience for its future electric vehicle customers that includes simple, intuitive e-commerce platforms, transparent pricing, and personalized customer support from Ford ambassadors. Well, this new shopping experience that they've come up with certainly sounds a lot like Tesla's and not a lot like a dealership experience. Now, I don't know precisely how those contracts are structured, but I do wonder if part of this decision is to help alleviate a little bit of that dealership burden for this new Ford Model E business unit. Maybe it doesn't change anything, but that kind of seems to be a part of the implication with that point. If that is a factor, that would almost be reason enough by itself. Continuing on, Ford says that they believe that this will help them unlock value, so they're now expecting a 10% adjusted EBIT margin by 2026. That's 270 basis points over where they came in for 2021. They, of course, list out their electric vehicle investments. Who can even keep track of that stuff anymore? But they say that they're now targeting 2 million plus annual production of EVs by 2026, or one third of their global production. I guess after that, they plan on slowing things down because they now expect 50%, which actually I think is above 40% what they had said before, to be EVs by 2030. But of course, if 2 million is a third in 2026, then by 2030, 50% is only going to be around 3 million, meaning that growth rate slows significantly. These numbers also mean that their target for 2026 is likely a decent amount below what Tesla's target is for next year. Along that way, it'll be really interesting to see how the profitability unfolds. I'm not sure where exactly The Verge got this, but they do report that Ford is projecting profitability for the EV division within the next 4 years. So if you were to interpret that pessimistically, then you could say they're not expecting to be profitable until they're at a 2 million EV run rate. That seems like a lot. I'm guessing the comment was a little bit more general, just saying that, yep, by that time, we expect to be profitable, not necessarily saying that they wouldn't be profitable until that time. In terms of management, Ford CEO Jim Farley will be president of Ford Model E, and they also note that Doug Field is going to lead the product creation as chief EV and digital systems officer. That should be a familiar name, as Field was very involved in the Model 3 ramp-up. He was senior VP of engineering at Tesla at that time, then left to be VP of special projects at Apple before joining Ford. As for the ICE business, just segmenting it out into its own business unit doesn't necessarily clear up any of that internal conflict for Ford, and I think you can see that coming through even in this announcement. Ford CEO Jim Farley today saying that the reality is our legacy business was holding us back, we had to change, but then listen to this from the announcement video.
Those vehicles aren't going anywhere.
I want to emphasize that. We are going to invest in internal combustion engines.
All right, well, not the investment I would choose. I mean, the market is very clearly going to be dramatically shrinking very quickly. Seems like a very obvious place to divest from, and seems like that would be one of the intentions of splitting the units in the first place, but I guess they can't just bring themselves to actually fully do that. Well, at least we'll be able to see what they are doing better. All right, let's move into the Rivian announcement. As I'm sure many of you have heard by now, Rivian yesterday let reservation holders know that they would be adjusting prices. They have since updated their design studio for those price increases, as well as introducing a couple of new configurations. We won't take the time to go through all the nitty-gritty details there, but the short version is that they've increased prices by maybe 20% or so, then slotted new lower performance options in, like a dual motor and lower range battery pack, at that opening price point that they had before. Rivian's very brief explanation to reservation holders was that, quote, "These price increases, the result of inflationary pressure on the cost of supplier components and raw materials across the world, will allow us to maintain product excellence. As we continue investing in electrification for our shared future, we remain committed to offering compelling products and helping drive competition, inspiring as many drivers as possible to switch to electric vehicles," end quote. All right, so I have quite a few thoughts here. I think first we'll address the comparison with Tesla, because I think it's an easy one to bring up, because many people may remember that Tesla actually had to increase prices on the original Roadster way back in the day. That is true, but the situations here are very different, and how it was communicated also very different. So you can see a letter here from Elon Musk sent to these Roadster reservation holders. Elon notes that he wants to share the essential reasons of why they needed to raise the prices on options for the Roadster, which we'll come back to that piece. But he said that their cost estimates from previous senior management turned out to be wrong by a very large margin. A lot of that management had then been replaced. He talked about specific reasons like having to re-engineer the entire drivetrain, switching out their body supplier, which caused them to have to buy new body tooling. The HVAC had to be replaced. The wiring needed to be redone. The list goes on and on. And not that you want those things to have to be done, but they were very clearly explained by Elon and Tesla in this case. And then Elon notes that the board and I did not want to do a retroactive increase on the base price of the vehicle, as that would create an unavoidable hardship for customers, so they were only increasing the options prices. And then he says that he firmly believes that the plan above strikes a reasonable compromise between being fair to early customers and ensuring the viability of Tesla, which is obviously in the best interest of all customers. It's also important to note that the price increases only affected 400 customers. So the point here isn't to, you know, cheerlead Tesla for how they handled price increases. Certainly Tesla has had their own fair share of issues in those regards over the years. I think we're going to get into another one of those situations again with the Cybertruck. It's just to highlight the stark contrast in what Rivian has done here and how they've communicated it to their very earliest customers. As of their last update, Rivian had said that they had 71,000 pre-orders. Now, customers are never going to like price increases, but that does put that pre-order number at pretty significant risk. Looking at a few different places today, from the Rivian forums to Reddit, there are polls on what people are going to do with their reservation. We're seeing 42% on this Rivian forum poll. They expect to cancel their reservation, another 40% undecided. So of those that had decided, 69% decided that they will cancel. Reddit looking even less favorable, with 48% saying they want to cancel, and 79% of those that had decided marking cancel. So not the best signs there for Rivian. And the worst part of all of this to me is that Rivian used those prices to generate those pre-orders, used the combination of both of those things to then IPO, raising $12 billion at a nearly $70 billion valuation. Then within just a few months of IPO and starting production, they raised those prices by tens of thousands of dollars. That's pretty shady stuff there, and then they come back and just say, oh, inflation. Further exacerbating that is they let those reservation holders have access to IPO shares at $78 per share. Those are now at 50-some dollars. So these reservation holders have given them a free $1,000 loan for this extended period of time. The price has gone up on their order, so they're kind of bag holding that order, and they're bag holding the stock in many cases as well. Certainly I can empathize with the need to increase prices, but just how this all has come together, the timing of everything here, it all just looks a little bit sketchy to me. And I said as much even before the IPO. I hope I can go back and find that clip somewhere, but this isn't some new feeling that has just now popped up based on this one action. Elon did chime in on this on Twitter last night, saying that their negative gross margin will be staggering. And then he also added that, "For Tesla, our primary challenge is affordability. Creating an expensive truck is relatively easy. If it's extremely hard for Tesla to do so, despite our much greater economies of scale and better technology, then it is nearly impossible for others." So this brings us back around full circle to the point I brought up with Ford. We're getting past press releases. We're getting past production. We're now into profitability. We're going to start seeing this. That's going to open a lot of eyes to how incredibly difficult what Tesla has achieved has been. There seems to have been this belief in the market that, oh, you just start making electric vehicles and because they're simpler, you just get to have these great gross margins like Tesla does. No, that's not how it works. That's why we have spent the last 4.5 years explaining how this situation has unfolded and how it is going to continue to unfold. Tesla is fundamentally different in so many ways, even from these new EV players. We're very quickly entering this EV reckoning period where it's not enough to just talk about what you're going to do someday. You've got to actually start showing it now. The financials for that can only hide for so long. Investors are only going to be so patient before those questions creep in of, okay, well, why can't you guys actually do what Tesla is doing? This increase from Rivian, that's one of the first indicators along those lines. Rivian better hope that their demand stays up at those price points, because if not, and they can't get to economies of scale at that demand level, then that's how your business fails. Now, I certainly don't hope that for Rivian, and they do have Amazon to help prop them up with those van orders, but that and many other reasons are why I would have no interest investing in Rivian at the valuations that it has been at. It's hard to go from no revenue to being a company worth $50 billion. Anyway, we'll hear more from Rivian in about a week. They do report earnings on March 10th. All right, moving on, we do just have a few quick Tesla items for today. I guess continuing on with Elon's comments, he did again reply to CNBC, this time about President Biden's State of the Union address last night. For those that watched, he did mention GM and Ford, their push for electric vehicles, and of course, no mention of Tesla. Elon replied to CNBC and just had a little quip saying, nobody is watching the State of the Union. Next, just a quick update on Giga Berlin. Drive Tesla Canada is reporting that they have learned that Tesla will start test production of the long-range Model Y at Giga Berlin as early as this week. Remember, we have heard that they should be starting with the performance version there, and I believe that's all the vehicles that we have seen so far, so this would be the difference there. Nothing to do with final approval, though hopefully we still hear a little bit more about that later this week. Last couple of things then. First, we have a new lithium contract reported with Tesla, so this is from Core Lithium. They've reported that they have agreed to terms on a 4-year contract with Tesla for up to 110,000 tons of lithium spodumene. So over 4 years, it's really not a huge contract. As we have talked about before, that amount should be enough for about 200,000 vehicles. So a relatively small contract, though they did also announce that Tesla is going to be helping them with one of their other expansion projects. Lastly then, just kind of an interesting note, Polestar has unveiled their latest concept vehicle. It is for an electric roadster. Getting a little bit of attention today because the concept video does show a deployable onboard drone. And kind of interestingly, we had actually seen something similar in the Cybertruck patents. That was more for terrain scouting and things like that. I think it makes a little bit more sense on a vehicle like a Cybertruck versus a Roadster. But again, just a concept. I wouldn't expect that to actually make it into the production version. All right, that is it for today then. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. Also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, March 3rd episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.